Works report. David, do you have anything you want to?
No, but I would mention that we have an unexpected increase in water breaks. They're not related to pressure, and they're not related to dry conditions. So it's a little bit of a puzzlement, but we've been having 4 and 5 breaks a week for about the last 3 weeks, and that continued today with 3 today. So we're keeping busy.
Questions on this report? Okay. Business. Consideration and approval of invoices. Did you have time to go through it?
I'll make a motion to
approve. Motion by Richard, second by Dana. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 8.2, consideration and approval of resolution number 2012-99, authorizing the mayor to execute a depository pledge agreement and letter of release to the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston for Wells Fargo Bank to pledge collateral at Bank of New York Mellon Trust. David?
Yeah, this is really a formality that does require your attention. We have a depository agreement with our banking institution, which was, at the time we entered into it, Wachovia. Wachovia merged with Wells Fargo, or was assumed by Wells Fargo. Part of our agreement is that the city's funds are 100% collateralized, and that's to say that beyond FDIC insurance, all of the money that the city puts in a checking account on deposit with our bank, they have to pledge a security at the Federal Reserve Bank to cover that. So that if there is a bank failure, the city is guaranteed to be able to have its funds protected by that pledged collateral. That said, that requires our banking institution to place securities in a Federal Reserve Bank that then holds them, and they can only be released with the permission of the city of Shore Acres. So we're the ones who have to periodically, when they're over collateralized, when they have more money pledged, or they used Bank of New York, and Wells Fargo used Mellon Trust, New York Mellon Trust, both of which are Federal Reserve entities. They're consolidating and not having their money collateralized in two different places. And so this is the paperwork that says that we agree for them to take the collateralized securities out of one Federal Reserve Bank and move it to the other. And this also says that going forward that we understand that they'll be placing our collateralized funds at the Bank of New York Mellon Trust Company. This does not represent any change of our banking relationship or anything of that nature. In addition to our depository agreement, there's also an agreement in there to the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, who's presently holding our collateralized funds and authorizing the transfer. So again, we kind of have them over a barrel, but we need to do this so they can put their funds where they want to put them.
Any questions?
Mayor, I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
On the entire proposal, after the resolution page, on page 1, at the very top, where it says City of Shore Acres, that is two words. I believe that needs to be redacted to one word. On page 2, also in 3 separate sections, they have mislabeled all 3 of those portions under the date heading near the top. On page 4,
page 2.
There's nothing on page 2.
Oh,
it's page 1 here.
Oh, page 1, on this one.
Page 1, top left, under the date.
Yeah.
All 3 of those have been misprinted, perhaps.
Okay.
On page 4, quarter of the way down, under depositor, where it says City of Shore Acres, I would prefer that to be spelled appropriately, as well as the address on the same page. And then the last page in the packet, under escrow account, it says City of Shore Space Acres, as well as the bottom right-hand side, under authorized signature, City of Shore Acres, as opposed to the one-word spelling.
David, what is all legal? I know we've gone back and forth on this. Are these two words or one word?
The city is single word. I was going to have him regenerate the paperwork.
Okay. Now, what about Shore Acres Boulevard?
That's two words.
That's two words. So we can't...
Yeah.
Okay.
May I request then to have the city spelled appropriately and leave the street name the same?
Also appropriately.
So I think we can still request a motion with the changes recommended by Matt. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, actually, the motion is on the resolution. And, there's no changes to the resolution.
Okay.
We'll get it taken care of.
We'll do that, and we just have to say it's okay to do it. Okay. So I will request a motion on this item, 2012-99. Motion for resolution 2012-99. Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, item 8.3, discussion of city repair and replacement plans and schedule.
Yes.
Matt?
Thank you, Mayor. I've had a bit of an ongoing issue with street repairs. First off, I would like to, before I jump too far into that, say thank you. As far as the streets are concerned, I noticed that there have been a number of street signs that are now in place, identifying streets that until here very recently had been without signage. So that's a great step in the right direction as far as the streets are concerned, and I appreciate that very much, as well as some of the clearings of those right-of-ways that have been a bit obscured by some pretty impressive vegetation growth and such. In a meeting not too long ago, we received in our packet a street inventory, and in this inventory, it has listed the street designations and grading criteria or scoring criteria throughout the city to show, I guess, where these streets are on the repair list. But one of the concerns that I have when citizens come to me showing portions of streets that have some significant degradation is where are we at on this sort of repair, and how do we appropriately communicate these to citizens? As that's probably going to be a recurring theme in my next portion as well, but it goes to the point of I see we have the inventory, and there's criteria, scoring criteria here. But is there perhaps a better method for the citizenry to understand where some of those points are at? How can we track and or understand where those problem areas are? And I'm not talking about entire lengths of streets. I'm talking about critical points in streets where we have a need for repair. If we go back to the report from the utilities section, I've seen and I've noticed a trend of zero repair on streets. And I know that perhaps there are some other prioritizations that have to be taken care of, but about these problem areas outside of the streets that have already been repaired, what are we doing, and what are we doing to communicate that to the citizenry, as I've noticed that this is a topic that comes up in almost every conversation I have with concerned citizenry. So I'm looking at possible solutions for improved communication between the city and the citizens on street repairs, street maintenance actions, things of that nature. I know we get a monthly report in our here at the council meeting, and I know that that is a good start. Perhaps we could retool. Perhaps there's a step in between the phone tree system that we have for urgent needs that go out to the citizenry and the water bill report that goes out once a month. Is there perhaps a gap measure that can be put into place to help address some of these street issues or perhaps even other underlying issues that are important but not necessarily an emergency? And one of the suggestions that I have, and by all means it's not the end-all be-all, is to perhaps have apologize, I had thought this up on the fly a little bit ago, perhaps an email distribution list for concerned citizens, where rather than having one message go out to one council member, perhaps it can go to a written statement, perhaps could go to interested or concerned citizens. You know, if the citizenry is interested about the road repairs and they want to, an ongoing perhaps report, maybe by the public works director who has that firsthand knowledge of what the status is, to perhaps put out an email to the citizenship of what has been done in the last 2 weeks, perhaps if there are problem areas that they're identified, and then that is bestowed, that information then is just turned around and given to interested citizens. Not necessarily on the phone tree, not necessarily on the marquee, but perhaps that intermediate information blast to a group of interested citizens. Now, it wouldn't be like I said, it's not the perfect solution, it's not the best solution, but when it comes to the repairs of the streets, I believe that is a grand opportunity for us to capitalize on some of the technology that we have to keep the citizenry interested. Not only will it help us understand what the ongoing issues are with the streets and ongoing repairs, but it also keeps the citizenry, those who are interested, involved in that communication as well. And I believe that that is certainly a possibility, but I'm also open to suggestion. But what I would like to see is, even though this is a bit confusing, rather than have a citizen to David or citizen to council to David communication gap, or even a citizen to comments to council to David type flow pattern on the communication, perhaps a bit more of a proactive approach with that citizen to council or citizen to administration, and then information distribution through that secondary distribution list, perhaps is an opportunity that we can capitalize on to help take a more of a proactive approach to ongoing street issues and perhaps even beyond.
Well, I just want to say we may already have a means in place to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear from Dana before I ask David to address that issue, and also how we deal with a continually moving target. Dana?
Which is sort of what the city council meeting is about. People want to know what the repairs are going on and what's going on in the city. Come to the city council meeting. Otherwise, you almost end up with, you know, we've always had a big fight that the forum is not the city business bid, and you can kind of get into, we can send out a lot of emails, but that just kind of defeats the purpose of the city council.
What I was thinking is we also have those newsletters / bulletins. We could use them for that purpose. So I'm with you. People like to be spoon-fed. I've seen this. They don't want to come. They don't want to listen. They don't want to get the phone. I'm not averse to doing the bulletin to this, but it keeps on changing. How do we deal with educating the public on something that changes all the time?
Well, actually, Mr. Weber's comments were illuminating to me because I just saw some trees where usually I'm standing in the forest, because there's a subtle distinction in what he said and what I thought he was going to say tonight, and that is we have been post-Ike battling on street replacements, and he didn't say anything about street replacements that I heard. He was talking about street repairs, and he was talking about communicating about street repairs, which is also a problematic answer, but it merits taking a stab at. I think the news brief is a good way to do that. But also, this is a transitional moment for us, because there is a repair that falls in that gap. We have a replacing a street where we're just taking it out and we're putting a new street in, and the contractor does that. And at the other end of that spectrum, we have a pothole, which we go out and we cold patch and we tamp in. Then we have the issue that was raised at a recent council meeting about the shoulder breaking off or the edging breaking off. That's a base problem, and you can't go put cold patch on that. If you do, it just pushes out and you're back, and then you look with merit or not merit, probably with merit if you really thought you were going to fix it, you look incompetent, like you can't fix it, because you cannot fix it with cold patch. But what we have not done historically in the 7 or 8 years I've been involved is do base repair as a point repair, which is a whole new tree in his forest, because there may be places where we need to do that, in which it is like building a new street. You replace the base and you put base in and you do a patch. We do have sales tax street repair funds that we could use to do that, and it is not something that we had put into the street inventory and maintenance plan because of the timing issue, which I would like to explain the overall picture, and then you'll see how that timing issue hit and how we ended up with that hole. I did prepare, and now what I say will change a little, but the information is exactly the same. And for the members of the public that haven't seen this before, this is a street maintenance map, and this goes back to what Mr. Weber was saying, where he says he's not talking about being runs the street, he's talking about specific problems. When I arrived here, we didn't do any long-range planning on capital improvements of streets. We did periodic joint ventures with the county, and the county came in, it was a 50-50, and we redid a street. But we really didn't do any inventory or long-range planning. And so one of the things that I did in about 2007 was I got to the streets, and we assigned segments so that we could do this inventory. The inventory sheet that he's got, and I think I have a picture of it here. Here we go. This is the inventory sheet that he has right here in front of him that you can see. And you'll see this is from June 5th of 2008. And it has a column there for condition codes. And that's the overall condition. And that was used to rank for replacement. You see the next box over there is maintenance codes. Wasn't too long after June 5th and September 13th of 2008 came along. And that was Ike. This was in process to address the types of things he was talking about, which includes seal coating, crack sealing, point repairs. Those are all things that would be in that maintenance code side that never got done. We've had a few other things on our plate. I think it's time that we go back and pick up that slack and at least get on track to do that, because it will address the things that he was talking about. As we took this, though, if you look at this, you end up with conditions, and there's a methodology to all that, but it ends up generating a score. The lower the number, the worse the condition the street is in, and so it gives you a ranking on those segments by the full length of the segment. And then what happens there is we have tiers, and this just says the top three for illustration, but there's five tiers. And tier one is the worst streets. Tier five are the best of the bad streets. If they don't need any work, they're not in any of the tiers. And so up there, segment 17 has an asterisk by it because in 2008, when this was going on, segment 17 was already scheduled for the city to do its first solo street project, I think, ever in history, and we did Westview. And anyone who drove on Westview for 2008 knows Westview was a four-wheel drive street. It was not a city street. And so it has started. What you see here, though, is when you do street projects, there's a practicality and a cost effectiveness that says you can't just do them in the order of what's the worst street. And what happens is you find that you have to group streets for practical projects. You don't do one block here and then go seven blocks over and do one block and go seven more blocks and do another block. So you try to group your worst streets into groups to accomplish them. So you see group one there. And the city council at that time was on track. We had just started this process, so we took the funds that were available and we did one segment of Buyer Drive and we did Westview. And we appropriated $300,000 in 2008 for the 2009 budget to start doing groups of streets in concrete, and then I came along. So there was a plan in place for street replacement. And you can see how these tiered up and then these into these groups. And this is what the groups look like. So this is group one, which is the other side of bio. Here's group two. Center in North Country Club. There's group three around Circle Park and Oakdale. There's group four, the other end of North Country Club. Here was group five. Five was split into two. There's a west and an east. So the west was over on East Country Club. The west was East Country Club, and here was the east. And so we had about 5 years worth of projects planned out based on whatever funding was available. You can see there's two orange lines there. Those are the two streets that the city did, and they were completed in July of 2008, so just 2 months before Ike hit. In this drawing, they are now white as completed projects, and the orange projects you see there are what we did with round one CDBG money. So the city stopped using its own funds. We certainly had lots of other needs and projects post-Ike, and we looked to the community development block grant funds. But you will notice that those street segments are nearly identical to the first three groups that we would have done under our own plan. So it just tracks right along. That's the round one. Now, round two, we didn't get enough money to do street work, but fortunately, Harris County said that they would take what we had allocated for round two and that they would do with their funds, and so there's the round two projects. As far as a communication issue goes, until we contract, or the county contracts for streets, I'm very reticent to tell someone what street is in or out, because it has been a moving target. And I don't want to tell you we're doing the street in front of your house and you've been waiting for 2-3 years or 4 years or 5 years for it to happen, and then something we have no control over takes that street out. And so I really would rather tell someone I can't tell you for sure where it's going to be than to say it's your street or I'm 90% sure and then it's not, because then nobody's comfortable with having ended up on the 10%. Today at 2:30, the engineers from Civil Concepts, who's the contractor for Harris County, brought the full set of round two street projects here for my approval as floodplain administrator to sign off on. And so for about almost a year, I've not seen anything of what the county was working on. Today I got to see those plans, and there, so it was very convenient timing for tonight's meeting. They are the orange segments here. That's what's on the plans. The plans will go out for bid, and then the bids have to come in within the budget, and if so, then it moves on. If the bids come in over budget, they'll cut streets. If the bid comes in under budget, Harris County's not going to give us back any money, so there'll be no more streets. So this is the maximum of what you're looking at. So I'm still not crazy about putting out on the website to the world, these are the streets in round two, until they accept a bid. So if they accept a bid, great, go for it. My understanding is that they are about 30 to 45 days away from putting it out for bid, which means we're about 60 to 90 days away from them awarding the contract. I know they're trying to move very fast, so they'll do it as quickly as they can. They really want this to be the first road project in their round 2.2. So again, you'll see there that these street segments follow right on with 5 east and 5 west in what was our plan, and then pick up some additional streets, because South Country Club, you know, Lord knows South Country Club certainly needs some help and has for a long time. What you don't see there are the asphalt streets that have done just prior to that, that are in pretty good shape, but you get the picture here. So those will be the streets after we get through round two, as we know it today. So that's a pretty good chunk, and that moves us well beyond our 5-year plan. So in essence, it's been a huge benefit to the city.
Can we do everything on that initial survey we did? Everything? Well, okay, given that the county doesn't change the streets,
yes,
which is a question mark,
yes,
will we have gone through that entire, all the streets on that survey?
On the 5?
The one you just showed with the, yeah, the different sections?
Let's see. We will not have done this segment of Meadow Lawn that's east of Sunrise. It was on the county list, and the county had to take it off because GLO would not approve anything east. So that got swapped out for another street segment. So that one is still no. You know, and I fully anticipated that the plan would be when we got through with all of the CDBG funded projects, that we would be back to looking at the city. Not that we necessarily have $300,000 a year to spend on it, but we would get back in the saddle of doing street segments again and keep up. The beauty of this is, not only did we get ahead 5 years, but we got ahead 5 years with concrete streets, and we got ahead with streets that are 4 feet wider than we had ever planned on doing. So we have a superior street product, and the maintenance cost of that is going to be zero, basically, to the city. And so that leaves us with more street funds to continue to do proper streets, which I really advocate that when we do them properly so that it's money well spent. But yes.
I would think that once the county has committed to doing the identified streets, that we start thinking about putting together a new survey.
Well, absolutely. It's a rolling document.
Yeah.
Well, let me finish because we're not to the end here yet.
Okay.
So this is round one and round two as it exists. Now, what we also know is that in round one, that's our grant, that's our funds. You know, we had $5.7 million for 5 projects, which was the police station, wastewater, water, streets, and drainage. We have done those projects. What we don't know are change orders on the water plan. If we continue, we've just had some change orders last week, but they were minor. If we can continue and complete the water plan near the cost it's at today, we will have money left over, which we will use to do additional street projects. I know it strains it out, but it's really advantageous to us. The timing is as slow as it is, because when the county contracts, when they accept the bid, we know exactly what they're getting. That will be the end of the round 2.2, and we'll know where to pick up. You'll notice on here we have forest. And you see forest doesn't go but mid-block. That's where the money runs out. That was the last segment that the county put on there, and they went down forest until they run out of money on what the projected cost per linear foot is. And there it ends. So if we have funds left over, our intention is to pick up there on forest and do the rest of the way to Broadway. As it stands today, and again, my crystal ball is in the shop, so I can't tell you for sure, these street segments right here stand to get done after the water plant, which is the priority order there is to finish forest, then to come back and do Oakdale, and I say come back, it'll just all be at one time. We'll know what the costs are and we'll do it. But if something gets cut, this is the reverse order. Forest first, then this block of Oakdale, and then Byway from Shorig's Boulevard to Fairfield. Absent any big change orders, we will have funds to do that. And that would be where we end. And then we would go back with the city program and pick up following from that. Updating our street inventory and resurveying the condition. We did resurvey condition post Ike, and what we found is that the streets that had Ike damage, it was a pretty uniform percentage of damage across the city, and it didn't change the ranking. Virtually all the streets got 15 to 20% worse, but in comparison to all the other streets, I mean, we had no street that was less than 2 feet underwater, so it was uniform. So that's why the project lists didn't change. Everything got damaged the same amount, everything got a little worse, the ranking stayed the same. We'll go back now and do this. We've had some impact now. That assessment was done in 2009, March of 2009. We have some now damage that's a result of our debris removal and our new construction and demolitions. And that's the heavy truck traffic on our streets that has caused the base damage. That is the kind of thing that we saw in those photographs where the side of the street breaks. You know, that happens over time with asphalt streets regardless when you have trash trucks because they're very heavy and you get the two wheels on one side and it causes that separation. So we will do a reassessment and we'll see if there's any change in the order. And then the new thing is layering back in the maintenance of the spot repairs, which we have not done. Because frankly, everything here is done by full segments. Because if you're doing a street replacement, this obviously just is the example that proves the rule, the exception that proves the rule, and that you go from corner to corner. You don't stop mid-block. And this is just a grant funding issue. But you want to go from end to end. So you can expect here very shortly to see an updated inventory. The street inventory has not been updated to even show the new streets yet. And we'll have a new program going forward.
I would like to make a suggestion, and I have a proposed solution to what I'm asking for, and that is on the website we have through technology a lot of capability, and one of those capabilities is to provide some sort of PDF drawing that has the layouts of the streets. And as repairs are imminent or have been identified for a need, that a place marker be put or a pin be put on that particular location to where any interested citizen can go in, open up that document, zoom in, look, and voila, there's comments there to that section. Do I have a problem on my street? Go to the website, open up the document, zoom in on the street. Ah, look, that pothole has been reported. Look, there's a comment section there that has when an imminent repair might be in place or whatever the ongoing resolution may be at that point in time. And what I hope to have happen then is any interested person of any street repair or maintenance or replacement can then go to that one source and find the information they're looking for, and if it's not present, then they can make that identification known. It's a proactive communication measure for citizen interaction on street issues. And if you're willing to work with me on that, I would be happy to volunteer some time to perhaps see if we can get some sort of product put together through some of the other technologies that I'm familiar with to help put that communication measure in place.
Yeah, my only suggestion or my suggestion and recommendation for that is that we integrate that into a tool for the city as much as for the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we've done with the website is, you know, you can go there and find a lot of information. But a lot of the information that's there is used every single day by city staff.
Sure.
And if it is useful to staff to see where and track maintenance progress, then that keeps it updated.
Absolutely.
And we don't end up with another task that's non-productive. So